The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Science's Sarah Reardon is sitting in for David Grimm with a selection of stories from our online daily news site, Science Now, including a story about how humans got spineless penises and big brains. Some sort of genetic study here, Sarah?
Yeah, so one of the big questions in biology has been what makes us human? What sets us apart from chimps and from other mammals? And one of those things, along with our lack of tails and our lack of fur, is that the males of our species don't have spines on their penises the way that most other mammals do, including chimpanzees, our closest relatives. And the purpose of these spines, in case you're wondering, is to clear out the sperm of other males who may have gone before, as well as to help induce ovulation in some species. And these spines are made out of keratin, the same kind of material that makes up your fingernails. But humans have lost these, and so what these researchers did in the study was to compare the human genome to the chimpanzee genome and try and figure out the differences, not by looking at ways that humans have evolved to get new genes, but where they may have lost genetic material that's caused them to lose certain features.
So it's a loss of genetic material that also has to do with the big brains?
Yes. Many genes are actually regulated in such a way that there's some sort of inhibition on the system where once you delete that inhibition that it keeps the genes from being expressed, that can actually cause them to create more of a structure, such as more neurons and a bigger brain.
So the DNA deletion led to more neural development.
Yes, and the way they found this out was that they lined up the chimpanzee genome with the human genome and looked for any places where the humans had lost large stretches of DNA. And they found 583 of these, and they weren't in actual genes that were coding for proteins. They were in regions between genes that likely regulate how they're being expressed. And so they found 583 of these deletions, and they picked two that they wanted to look at. One was close to genes that respond to male hormones, and another was close to a set of genes that are involved in brain development. And so what they were able to do was to take the pieces of DNA that chimpanzees have but humans do not and express them in mice, engineering them in such a way that when these regions were expressed, they would turn blue in the tissue that they're being expressed in a mouse fetus.
So the mouse's penis turned blue and their brains did?
Yes, the penile spikes turned blue, as well as a region of the brain called the subventricular zone, which is associated with brain growth. And what was interesting was some of these same pathways for penile spikes are actually still in human foreskins. They went back and looked at that as well. And so humans still have this genetic material. It's just not regulated in the same way that it is in a chimpanzee where we normally would have penile spikes.
So it's a matter of not having this gene turned on, which is why human males don't have penile spikes.
Exactly.
Okay. What about the other 581 of these regions that they noticed that were different?
Well, the researchers said that they're very excited to look at this and hope that many other researchers will jump in as well. It's going to be very complicated to figure out what makes this different than chimpanzees.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sarah. So what other stories have we brought with you this week?
Well, we've got one here about hagfish and how they just got even more disgusting than you thought. Hagfish are sort of an eel-like creature. They're not actually eels, but they live at the bottom of the ocean. They're very difficult to study because they live at such high pressures. And whenever people have been able to bring them up and study them in the lab, they find that they exude this massive amount of slime from their skin. And when they've been observed in the wild, they are usually found burrowing down into the corpses of decaying sea creatures at the bottom of the ocean and wiggling around in there. And it's been a big question, what are they doing? Well, the slime is certainly disgusting, but what will gross you out even more is to know that when they're sitting inside corpses, they're not only eating them, they're absorbing them through their skin. They don't need to use their mouths to be able to get nutrients out of a decaying fish. They can actually suck in its flesh through their own skin.
Are there other creatures that do this?
Yes, there's a lot of worms that can do that and some other invertebrates. Hagfish are not actually vertebrates. They don't have actual bone structures, but researchers seem to think that they are some sort of transitional organism between invertebrates and modern bony fish. And so they have both ways of eating.
So does the slime help with the digestion, or what's going on there?
Well, it's not really clear whether the slime helps with digestion. What the slime does is help escape from predators, although some research has shown that maybe they coat the corpse they're about to eat with the slime. Nobody wants to eat your corpse after you've coated it with hagfish slime. But what the researchers did in this case to figure out how the hagfish digested corpses was that they took a piece of hagfish skin and stretched it out between two solutions, one of which was similar to seawater that the hagfish would be swimming in, and one of them was similar to its own body fluids. And when they dissolved some nutrients, like amino acids and sugars, in the seawater, they found that it was able to cross the membrane without any sort of help right into the hagfish's body fluids. And this wasn't entirely surprising because the hagfish maintain a salt level on the inside of their bodies that's the same as the salt level on the outside in the seawater. But not everything was able to cross. They put a food dye into the seawater as well, and that didn't cross the skin, which suggests that the hagfish are just pulling the nutrients that they want.
Kind of like our intestines do.
Exactly.
Okay. So last story. What's this last one about?
So the last story is about an ice mass that's been discovered underneath the Antarctic ice sheet. It's down near a mountain range that's been hidden from view for millions of years.
So ice discovered underneath an ice sheet. How do they distinguish between the two?
So scientists think that ice sheets mostly form from the top, where snow falls and solidifies into ice. So normally, the water underneath the ice stays in a liquid form because it's under immense pressure and it's being warmed by the Earth. But what they found in this new study is that when this ice sheet moves over a mountain range, some of the water gets squeezed up the sides of the mountains up to the ice where it freezes.
So how much of an ice sheet then could be frozen from below as opposed to layered on top from above?
So researchers estimated it could be up to half the ice sheet formed from the bottom up. And where this becomes interesting is that when you're looking at how global warming will affect the melting of ice caps, you can't just model how the ice is formed based on snow falling. You have to also think about how it's being formed from the bottom up. But right now, scientists say it's too early to really know how this will affect their current global warming models.
Okay, well, thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rob.
Science's Sarah Reardon sitting in for David Grimm with a selection of stories from our online daily news site, Science Now. You can check out the latest science news, plus all the stories on the science policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.